We know Joe. Just let him sit there. He all right. Nevertheless, we were talking. There was a man that was in the hospital and his bowels had ruptured. And if you know anything about a ruptured bowels, there's some nurses in here that know that in most cases it's septic and you do not live. Amen. Pastor Hart went to the hospital. Now he came to the hospital to pray for you, but he was a man of very few words when he prayed. He didn't get into these long prayers, and he didn't talk in tongues, and he didn't roll around on the floor, and he didn't spit all over you. He just said he was going to say, and if you didn't believe it and trust God, then see you. This man looked up and asked him, he says, Pastor, am I going to live? And I'm looking because I'm curious. I'm looking at this man's condition. I want to hear what this man of God got to say. And he looked at him and he said, look at me. He said, the word of God says, you shall not die, but you shall live and declare the works of the Lord. And that man lived. There's a lot of us that have conditions in our bodies today. Circumstances in our lives. Situations on our jobs. Afflictions in our families and persecution in our families. And we are in the end. Brother Eddie and I did a message this morning on the internet. It's called, It's Crunch Time. And that's exactly what it is. We are in crunch time. You have to make up your mind who you're going to stand for today. Because if you think it's going to get easier, it's not going to get any easier. But you know what? It depends on your disposition and your attitude and how you look at things. If you can recognize that everything that you go through has already been purposed. I was hearing it again, how God said it rains, or there's things that happen and there's problems that come rain on the just and the unjust. And the more I hear it, the more understanding I get from it. And what he's saying was, the reason that happens is because God already purposed the things that we'll go through in our lives. But he gave us the ability and the power to decide whether we go through it with victory or we go through it complaining. I'm standing here to tell you, I went through a whole lot of stuff complaining, Brother Keys, Pastor Keys. I complained getting up, and I complained walking, and I complained going to bed. And when I got up the next morning, my complaining didn't change a thing. All it did was make me wish I didn't have to get out of the bed and start all over again. Amen. So we have to learn to stop complaining. In these verses, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my refuge. The Lord here, which is translated into Hebrew, it means Jah. Or Jah can also be, if you get to the real deep translation, it means Jireh or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, or He is my provider. And if He is my provider, then I can look to have strength. The word strength doesn't mean so much power, but it means to have boldness and intensity and integrity about who you are in God. It's crunch time. We have to decide whether we're going to die or we're going to live. I don't care how many preachers you listen to on the radio, on TV. You can't come here and take this word. You got to find out for yourself. Because what you don't know for yourself ain't going to help you a bit. Amen. He said, the Lord is my strength. And then it says, my song. Because what you realize is when he's your Jireh, when he's your provider, and he provides you with the attitude and the disposition that you need in your life, whereas then you know that you have boldness and agility and authority to go to God. Now you have some praise in your spirit. We need some praise. And praise don't mean jumping up and down. Brother Andy gets tickled every time I talk about people hanging from the chandelier. Praise. Pastor Keith, my God. Today, this week, I'll be meditating on stuff. My wife said, you okay? My mind be going. My spirit be moving. Because God said, I'll inhabit the praise. He didn't say, I'll inhabit your praise. He didn't say, I'll inhabit a praise. But he said, I'll inhabit the praise. What is the praise? It's the God.
Amen.
That means God will dwell in the praiser that's on the inside of you. That means sometimes you're not going to feel like opening up your mouth and saying, God, I thank you. Glory to God. But there's a praiser that's living on the inside of you that's crying out. Oh, Psalms ain't no joke. He said, the voice of rejoicing, because I can praise, and there's a praise in my spirit. There's salvation in my spirit, and it has become my salvation. My God, Pastor Relevant, when I'm going through and I'm tired and I'm beat up and feel like I've been stoned and I'm falling all over the place, there's something on the inside of me that says, you will make it. Your body don't tell you you're going to make it. Your mind is resisting the fact that you're going to make it. But there's someone living on the inside of you, which is called a pistis. It's a divinely implanted principle, which is called faith, which stirs up the gift of God within you. And regardless of how bad you feel, you have to tell yourself, I can do this. Regardless of what you're going through, I'm going to make it. Regardless of how beaten up you may be, I've got victory. It says, it's become. That means that it wasn't at first. That's because you allowed your circumstance to have the victory over your lifestyle. You allowed your troubles to dictate to you when you offer God up some praise. You allowed your trials to dictate what you were going to do for God and what your mindset was going to be. But because you decided to yield yourself over to the things of God, in spite of problems, in spite of circumstances, there was a praise on the inside of you. He said, you heard I said, a praise, as in a person. Then it says, the voice of rejoicing, a sound of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle or that dwelling place or that place where God dwells. There is a sound of victory. They used to always tell me, you don't smile. We don't never see you smile. And I wouldn't say nothing at first. I go, okay. We don't see you smiling. And then one day somebody was nasty about it. You can't possibly have no victory because you don't smile. I said, well, evidently, let me tell you what. Let's try to open up my chest and let you into my heart and see just how much joy I really do have. My joy ain't on my face. It's in my spirit. Huh. I wasn't judging them, but I had a right. I was in on radiation. I was in church. Where were you? I took treatments on Tuesday night and preached on Wednesday morning. Where were you? See what I'm saying? Folks want to judge you by the way you look instead of searching the intents of your heart and know that you have victory because you ain't running around, jumping around, smiling in their face all the time. Oh, the man of God in here, he's trying to tell him something. He says the tabernacle of the righteous or the just. Why? Because you have to understand that it's the just that shall live by faith. That means you're not going to live by your circumstances. You're not going to live according to your situations. You're not going to live according to your problems. You're not going to live according to your hurts and your pains and your distresses and your anxieties. But you're going to live according to the word of God. Well, I can say that because I didn't live according to my pains.
All right.
because I was discouraged. I was ready to give up because I didn't think I could go no farther or take no more. But that's when I found out that there was somebody in me that was greater than me. And when he talks to you, if you'll listen, you'll live. If you don't listen, you're not going to live. And listen to me, that don't mean you got to die and be in the grave, but you can be dead and be... I tell you all the time, the church full of dead folks. Okay, touch me, Jesus. Touch me, Jesus. I'm almost done. I'm working on it. I'm working here this morning. I like this part, Pastor. It says, the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Valiantly, virtue, valor, strength. Then it says it again, the right hand of the Lord is exalted, or causes you to rise or to be strong. Then it says it again, the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly a third time, which God is trying to let you know that you're not in this alone, but I'm with you. My son is with you, and my anointing is with you. Now, if you understand the first one, that in your rejoicing, or that the right hand of the Lord, when we know that this is that Jesus, now this is prophetic. This is prophetic for this day, for this hour, that we know that Jesus, who is risen and sits at the right hand of the Father, is full of authority and power. And if that right hand of the Lord, he doeth valiantly, what does it mean? That the word doeth has to do with is that you allow him to have his way in your life. That means that when all hell is breaking loose, you can lift it up in your spirit and say, God is still good. You can be like Job. When everything Job lost, he said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. You might not hear me praise him with my mouth. That's why all his friends came against him, because they didn't hear him opening up his mouth and saying, God is good and God is great. He was hurting. He was discouraged. He was broken. He lost everything that was dear to him. But there was something on the inside of his spirit that said, though he slay me, if he take everything I got, I'm still going to have a praise in my spirit. That's how you live. That's how you live. My God, that's how you live. When you done all this, and now you're valiant. You're valiant because of the Lord. And then you learn to exhort him. Well, not the kind of exalt that you assume in your mindset, how great he is and how wonderful he is. But in spite of the circumstances of life, when folks hate you, you can still walk in love. Yeah. That's what exaltation is. When folks are persecuting you, you can still pray for them. When the very people you show compassion to turn around and don't have any for you, you can still give them and show them compassion. When everything around you tells you to be sad, you can still be joyful, because you understand that there's no victory without a trial. And if you don't have no trial, then there can be no anointing. Then you have to tell yourself, I shall not die.
That's right. That's right.
I shall not die. And you think the word, the most important word there is die, but it's not. The most important word there is shall. Because if you do some real studying on the word shall, it talks about infinitely, indefinitely. I shall not die. Not only is it talking about I'm not going to die naturally, but it's also talking about I will not die spiritually. I shall not die. Somebody say die. I shall not die. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to let my circumstances kill me. I'm not going to let my thoughts kill me. I'm not going to let persecution kill me. I'm not going to let trouble kill me. I'm not going to let tribulation kill me. I'm not going to let sickness kill me. I'm not going to let stress kill me, but I'm going to live because I know that there's a liver. There's a, my God, there is a God on the inside of me that says I have power to live. You know what? I shall call those things that are not as though they are. Sometimes that don't mean doing it with your mouth. Sometimes that means when you're sick in your body, you tell yourself, I'm healed. When there's trouble all around, you tell you, I'm still blessed. When there's things that have broken your heart or tried to rip you apart, you can still say, I still have joy. Oh no. Oh no. It ain't time to die. It's time to live. It's time to live. It's time to live. My God. I like when it talks about the Lord because it means a sacred name. And what's so sacred about the name of God? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. You know what? Just because when it talks about tongues, it's not talking about mouthpieces, but it's talking about things that afflict you, things that persecute you, things that anger you, things that upset you, things that make you sick. Oh my God, y'all don't hear me this morning.
Come on now.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. God said, I shall. And I like the word I because it means you have to declare.
Hallelujah.
I can't declare it for you. You have to declare. That's why I like that statement. She said, look at man in the mirror. Get in the mirror and look, say, I know what you're trying to tell me, but I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I'm not going to die. I'm telling you, you don't have enough power to kill me. I'm telling you, you don't have enough power to destroy me. That's why Paul said what he said, I may be cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Don't mean you're not going to go through. Don't mean you're not going to be tried. Don't mean you're not going to be tempted. But God's trying to bring us to a certain place in Him where we recognize that He is God over all things and not just something. Saints, I got news for you. I got news for you. Remember that old scripture we talked about it Wednesday morning? It's in Proverbs. I think it says, and the grass is going to do what? The grass is going to, and the flowers are going to. Hey.
Come on.
Only thing that's going to last. So if you don't have no word.
All right. Come on now.
I ain't even going to answer it for you.
All right.
You don't have no word. And you can't have no word if you don't open the book.
Hallelujah.
Now I know some of y'all finna get mad at me, but you're gonna get over it. I was when I was up studying this morning, I was listening to Donnie McClurkin. I like Donnie McClurkin. I like him. I love his praise and worship. But just lately I'm starting to even like his teaching. Because he teaches because he's been through something. He's not teaching because of what he heard. He's teaching because of what he's been through. And that's where your testimony comes in at. Because you've been through something. You have something to say. And he was talking this morning. He said, our churches are full of people that don't have Bibles in their hands. Stepping on some toes. It's your fault, Pastor Keith. I heard you say it first. Sometimes you just need a little confirmation. Because you know what, my brother? If you can't bring one to church, you certainly ain't going to read it at home. Okay. Okay. I was meddling. I'm all right. How many in here want to be able to declare the works of the Lord? You want to be able to declare the works of God. Okay. Let's go there a little bit. If you decide that I'm not going to die, I'm not going to let things steal my peace. Baby, we're going through some stuff. We're going through some stuff, and you better believe ain't nobody for you. The very folks that you go to treat you are the very ones that try to destroy your faith. Oh, Jesus. Because they are scientific and not God-fearing. So you better have your house in order. So when that thief slip in through the window, you ready for him. I walked into a store one day and I got so tickled. I just laughed because it didn't hit me at first, Mother Alfred, until I looked at it a couple more times and I stood there and I laughed. He had this huge sign. I mean, he must have took it and had it blowed up. It was huge. And it was the first thing you saw when you went to his store. And it said, "This store is protected by Smith and Wesson." And I walked by it, Fatima, and I Smith and Wesson. And I had to go back and I go, and then when it dawned on me he was talking about a gun, I said, "Man, that's clever." You better tell your problems and your circumstances and your sicknesses and your ordeals and your persecutions and your afflictions that your house, which is ordained and protected by God, is protected by Smith and Wesson. God is the big and the best gun you'll ever have in your life. You know, I'm getting like you about these TV things. You know, anybody ever saw that show where they had the ability to shoot and shoot around walls? You know what I'm talking about. You can shoot around walls. That's God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. When God say, "Touch not my anointing and do my prophet's no harm," he ain't just talking about people, but he's talking about stuff. God, if he have to, he'll shoot through a wall. He'll turn a corner. He'll do what he got to do. All we got to do is keep our faith built up. Now, when I say my house is protected by Smith and Wesson, I mean literally. So don't get it twisted. Brother Larry, I better come on and finish up here. I'm playing too much. I'm not going to die. But I'm going to live. Oh, my God. I'm going to live. That means I'm going to be quickened. That means I will recover. That means I will repair. That means I will restore myself. That means I'll be whole. And I'll be all this will come back to life, because in spite of everything, I kept my faith in my God. I may not look like I kept it to you, but I did. I may not have acted like I kept it, but I did. And then, you know when you declare the works of the Lord? Not when it's all over with. Declare means to show forth, to tell, to make a record of. You don't declare the works of the Lord when the ordeal is over with. You declare the works of the Lord when you're in your misery, when you're going through your hell, when you got your troubles, when the doctors don't give you no hope and nothing good to say. That's when you declare the works of the Lord. That's when you walk around with your chest out, knowing that your God is more than able. Now don't get me wrong. It ain't going to be times you ain't going to get a little weak, because you're still fleshly. When you start being a supernatural being, you let me know, because I'm going to, maybe you have to kick me out your house. But we know how to what? Recover. I'm really almost done now, Sister Coleman. Really. I'm really almost done. I want to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to declare. I want to show forth God's power, His grace, His mercy, His love in the midst of my trouble. Not when it's over with. Amen. I want to show folks that when it says, and I shall declare the works of the Lord, that means I want to show them that I'm occupied by somebody that's greater than my circumstance. You'd be amazed at how many people are watching your life. Amen. You'd be amazed. But see, it comes with something. That's why you have to listen to the whole Bible and not just parts of it. Where it says, to whom much is given, much is required. It says here, the Lord hath chastened me so. Means to instruct, to reprove, to teach. Sometimes the only time we can learn from God is if we go into a bunch of H-E-L-L double O hockey sticks. We might as well be real. When you got a pocket full of money, you don't hear God. Let your finances get attacked, though. Oh, Jesus. Lord God in heaven. Most holy one. God, my provider, my deliverer, my way maker. I done did this and I done that. I've been faithful in a few things. Now come on and give me the much. And God, what God say? God look over at the son, he go, you know what? There you go again, bellowing. I already told him I know everything he had need of. All he had to do is seek me first. Sometimes we have to go through some stuff in order to seek him first and put him first. I done had to go through some stuff to put him first. Because I'm telling you, sometimes you get haughty. You get exalted. You get a little knowledge in your spirit. A little anointing flowing in you. Folks telling you about how holy and time they got healed and all this kind of stuff. You get haughty. You forget that Jesus did it. But I got news for you. God chasing them that he loves.
Hallelujah.
I said, Lord, you don't love me. He said, watch me. He said, let me prove to you how much I love you. The bottom dropped out. Brother Little John, the whole floor dropped out, opened and swallowed me up. God said, now whose report you gonna believe? I started singing real quick. I will believe the report of the Lord. Half the time, Rev, I didn't even believe it, but I was singing it anyway. I was going to make myself believe it. You know, I love greens now. I did not like greens when I was growing up. And my mother was a green lady. She thought you had to eat greens all the time. And I could smell them when I walked in the house. But you know what she taught me? You better make yourself eat them. It was either you eat them on your own, or I shove them down your throat. Don't make God have to shove something down your throat. Well, he chastened me sore. Ooh, he made me sore. We're not happy, disappointed, mad, cried about how what I've done, how faithful I've been, what I had to go through to stay held on, and God just never said nothing. But then one day he decided to speak to me in a still small voice. He reminded me. He said, I'm just trying to get you to live right. My son died 2 deaths. And you still walk around here bragging about who you are. He held himself of no great reputation. God, I got you. I hate to hear the Lord say that. I got you. Especially when I know I ain't doing right, and he said, I got you. That don't mean that I'm finna hold you up and strengthen your back. That means I'm finna break your back a little bit so you understand that I'm King of Kings and I'm Lord of Lords. But you know what? What's so good about it? I understand why he says, mercy and grace shall follow you all the days of your life. Because even after you have been all you have been through, God says, but he has not given me over unto death. It don't matter. He has not turned me over to something that's going to steal my life from me. Amen. We have to make up our minds. We have to decide. This, in this new day and this new hour, you know, young people, they got Bibles, but they on their phones. you can't really jump on them because they got a Bible. It's on their phone. Sean got a phone so big, it looked like a laptop. And he spent most of his time trying to show me the Greek and the Hebrew. And man, I can't even see your phone. But that's the day and age we're in. But don't forget that you've got to have the word in you. Amen. Because I'm telling you, what's in you, it's going to come out of you. It might not have come out yet, but there's a circumstance and a situation that's going to bring it out. And when it happens, I hope you got enough word in you where you can be steadfast and unmovable. And abound in the work of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. God getting him an army ready. And he ain't looking for no folks that need to be patted on the back to do right. Amen. He looking for some folks that's going to get knocked down in the mud, Mickey, and get back up and go, oh well. That's why we need to have childlike faith. Remember when you used to play football and y'all used to play sports and it rained outside? It was just as muddy as it wanted to be. You had the greatest time. As soon as you got a little knowledge and somebody convinced you that being dirty was bad, everybody else out there playing, you don't want to play no more. Man, I ain't playing with y'all. I ain't getting dirty. But you sat there miserable.
Amen.
For not doing what you wanted to do with your life. Don't be miserable.
Amen.
Do what you're going to do with your life. And decide that you're not going to die. But that you're going to live. And you're going to manifest the works of God in your life. And there are things that come to destroy you. Absolutely destroy you. Just break your heart. Just take your heart and step on it and rip it apart and make you feel incompetent. Make you judge yourself. You know, if you get so tight, so uptight that you start judging yourself, you'll kill yourself. You don't need nobody to kill you. What you say, pressure? What's the old saying? Pressure busts pipes. You better make sure you're one of them new type of pipes that know how to expand with pressure. Because them old ones bust. That means you got to change your mindset, your attitude, your disposition, so that you can be who God wants you to be. And if you're going through some trouble, God trying to change you and transform you by the renewing of your mind so that you'll be all that he called you to be and not what you think you should be. This, I thought this was going to be a walk in the park. When I give my heart and life to God, you see folks doing good and all that good stuff, and you say, man, this is going to be a walk in the park. I didn't even get, I accept you into my life. My personal savior out my mouth and fell down the stairs. And I'm laying at the bottom of the stairs going, that wasn't supposed to happen. I just heard them preach that they told Jesus. The devil told Jesus, if you jump off this mountaintop, that God won't allow you to dash your feet. The angels won't. So how come I fail? How come my ankle twisted? That's when God finally had to reveal to me, you need to get out your flesh. Because that carnal word will keep you in the shadow of the valley of death. And I'm trying to get out of that valley. Because I know what's at the end of it. It's a table prepared for me. Where I'm going to eat and my enemies going to serve me. That means my sickness going to serve me. My discouragement is going to serve me. My anger is going to serve me. You know what they're going to be serving me? We sorry. We really didn't mean to do what we did. Because you done become so mature in the things of God that you laugh at them. It's coming. We're getting there. It's going to take some stuff to get there. But we're getting there. Amen. I've been celebrating all week, and it seems like it keeps getting worse. Now, what kind of mess is that? You know all that mess I got in last year? I'm almost over with. You know they still pressing me? Making me angry. But I said, that's all right. I just get up earlier and go. Feel good about it too. You feel good when you press. You got to press. Don't give up now. You got to press. And that's why it's so important that we be in church. Because we can encourage each other. And we can strengthen the. I hear these. I'm just going to flat out call it. I'm done really though. I hear these heathens. I ain't talking about folks that ain't saved. I'm talking about folks that confess to be saved. They're the heathens. Because they spend all their time criticizing folks that go to church. Amen. I'm telling you, baby. You better be nice. Because God's word does exactly what it says. Don't be deceived. I gave my own interpretation. Be not deceived. God ain't no joke. Whatever you plant, it's coming back to you. I don't care if it takes 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You're going to look up and that tree going to be standing in front of you and it's going to say, hey, remember me? Remember when you dropped that seed in the ground? You thought I'd die, didn't you? Well, I'm just here to remind you that the word of the Lord don't never go void. So you better make sure you declare that you're going to live and you're not going to die. And in doing it, don't plant no dying seeds. Everyone stay. Hello. bunch of them trees, right? Man, I've been running. But Lord John, I've been walking, enjoying myself, and go boom. Go, what is that? Where'd that tree come from? And you know what God's good at? Reminding you. He'll bring it back to your remembrance. Remember that seed you planted? Yeah, God, but that was about 30 years ago. You know, that's how long it took it to get to the stature that it's at. And then some trees grow back real quick. Some seeds you throw in the ground, and you turn your back and turn back around, and it's standing there. And it just don't have flowers on it and leaves. It's got thistles and thorns, and it's pricking your life. And you want to blame the devil, then you blame your mother, and you blame your father. Well, if they hadn't done this, I wouldn't be here. You blame your wife, if she hadn't done it, you blame your husband, you blame your kids. You better just look at the man in the mirror.